What shall these days be? Have you ever wondered about this question before? If somebody were to ask you, what is your opinion about these days? How would you describe it? Or what is your view of the days to come? How will you answer these people? Before the pandemic, perhaps there will be many who say, I am very optimistic of the days to come. Looking forward to markets rising, looking forward to technologies being developed, looking forward to a bright future whereby man will continue to be exalted and we will continue to bask in the glory of our achievements. I look forward to building great barns. I look forward to building more houses. I look forward to making a name for myself. The days are bright and cheery. But then, we have now the COVID-19 pandemic. And the tune of many have now changed. Oh, it looks like it would take some time before a vaccine will be found. It looks like this pandemic will be one that is long drawn, maybe a year or so, but we do not know. And then they hear the words that are being pronounced by the World Health Organization, and they fall into greater despondency. Oh, looks like this virus is here to stay. No longer so optimistic, isn't it? Now, pessimism has taken over. People are going to lose their jobs. Economies are going to take time to recover. When will the time come whereby we can fly from country to country? If not for business, we want to do so for leisure, for tours. That was how it used to be like in the past. But now we do not know when all these things can be restored. And even though now restaurant and dining places may be open, yet people have to put on their masks. And nobody knows whether there will come a point of time whereby another wave of the plague may come upon the nation. And then we will be forced once again to go back into the little shells of our homes. And there, again, isolated from one another. And so now, when you ask many, they will say, oh, I have this very pessimistic view of the world. What say you? What does the scriptures tell us about these days and the days to come? You will realize that the picture that is painted in the scriptures is even far more pessimistic about the world to come. At least, this present world as we know it. The Bible says that ever since our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came into this world, some 2,000 years ago, we entered into a period that is called the last days. What do we mean by the last days? Well, perhaps it can be taken to mean the last days of man, the last days of man's existence here upon the earth. And we know that the last days began when Jesus Christ came the first time, and that it will end when Jesus Christ comes the second time. And when Jesus Christ comes the second time, he's no longer going to come as the Savior of the world, but he's going to come as the Lion of Judah, and the world will be judged. And so, therefore, till our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes, how will the world be like? Well, you will find certain descriptions in the Bible concerning these days. Here, in verse 26, we are given, from verse 26 to verse 37, we are given one particular description of these days. These days here are called not only the last days, but specifically called the days of the Son of Man. Why the days of the Son of Man? Because these days begin with the first coming of the sons of man, and now you are looking forward to the coming of the Son of Man again. So till the Son of Man comes again, how will the world be like? The Bible says it will be like the days of Noah. Right? You see the term Noah, the word Noah here means Noah. It will be like the days of Noah. It will be like the days of Sodom. And so the question would then be, how were the days of Noah and Sodom like? First of all, know that the days of Noah and Sodom were cold days. What do we mean by cold days? Cold days in the sense that the spirit of the world was one that was full of nonchalance, indifference, and apathy towards spiritual things and towards God. How do we know this? Well, look at verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. So we will notice that here, the days of Noah are described as days where people were eating, people were drinking, people were marrying wives, and they were also given in marriage. Now, all these things are the common activities of the day. You realize that men live for this thing. They live to drink, they live to eat, they live for survival and gaining all the material things of the world. And a large proportion of men will be involved in marrying or given unto marriage. Is that not true? That's what many of us look forward when it comes to our own life, isn't it? When we dwell upon the earth. Before you knew Christ, and some of you claim that you knew Christ. Before you knew Christ, those were the things that you look forward to, right? Eating, drinking, and especially in Singapore, we not only eat to live, but sometimes the joke goes around that we live to eat. Thinking about the next dining place, thinking of the next shopping place, thinking of the next place of entertainment, eating and drinking, eating and drinking. That is what life is all about, isn't it? Even if I go to work, it's all because I'm looking forward to the time whereby I can go to the next restaurant, I can go to the next pub, I can go to the next party to eat and drink, to eat and drink, to engage in all the various parties and buffets, to engage in all the various banquets. And then I look forward to finding that life partner. Oh, to get involved in their lives. And then hopefully one day I may get married. And then I can have my own family. And thereby I can live my day enjoying all the things in the world. To have my houses. To have my cars. To have my cars. That's what the world is like today, isn't it? Well, that was how the world was like also in the days of Noah. That was before the great global flood. They were so focused on all these things of daily life, all the material things, all the physical things, that they had no thought for God. They have no thought about the greatest need in life, that is to find salvation of their souls and also of their bodies, to find the forgiveness of sins in God Himself. They don't care. They can't be bothered. And that's what we mean by those were cold days. And that was despite the fact that the Lord, even before the days of Noah, had sent witnesses to warn them about their sins and their need to find salvation in Him, to warn them about the judgment to come. You have people like Enoch who walked with God, who went about warning the entire world as the spokesman for the truth. Then when it came to Noah's time, Noah himself was also a spokesman for God. And in order to prepare for the great flood to come, there he was in the midst of all these people building a gigantic ark for the great deluge that is to come. In the end, how many listened to Noah? Well, few did. They either didn't care about him or they mocked him. You say that there's going to be rain from the sky. What is rain? Because in those days before the flood, there was no such thing as rain. The way the world was watered was because of a mist that came out from the ground that watered the entire earth. And so therefore, when Noah said, there is going to be water from the sky, there's going to be such things called clouds, and these clouds will break forth, and then like the gates of heavens opening, the waters will pour down, and then the waters from the deep will also come up, and then the entire world will be flooded with water, and all flesh will not escape. What? What do you mean by rain? Those people, they thought that Noah was talking something that was ridiculous. And so they mock him. They scoff at him. But Noah continued patiently to build the ark. And so therefore, understand this one thing with regards to the situation of those days. That those people in those days, they were not without a witness. In their midst, there is this great, gigantic vessel that was being built. And all of them knew about this vessel that was being built. It's there. A wonder of the world. And yet, they ignored the message of that wonder of the world. Salvation? I need salvation? What salvation? I do not care. I just want to go about the days of my life to enjoy the lust of my flesh, the lust of the eyes, and then the pride of life. Who cares about the world to come? Who cares about eternal life? I only care about this present time. Nonchalance. Indifference. Apathy. Those were very, very cold days, isn't it? Spiritually cold days. Cold days with regards to spiritual things as well as with regards to God. There is simply no love for the creator of this world. And the Bible tells us that men in those days, they were walking in such evil that the Bible says that every imagination of their hearts was only evil before the Lord continually. And this evil continues to fester and fester so much so that the Lord had no choice but to cause the great deluge to occur in order to refresh the things that were upon the earth. And can you imagine, of all the people that were present in the world in those days, only 8 people were saved in the vessel. That means only 8 people took heed of the message of Noah. And who were these 8 people? These 8 people were the family of Noah. 8 people in the entire world. Now, how large was the population of the world in those days? Now, some scholars did some estimation, and because they tracked the time whereby the earth was formed all the way to the time of the great global flood, they tracked the years, they found that it was about perhaps 1,600 to 2,000 years. And then after that, they did the calculation because men in those days could live about 800 to 900 years. So perhaps the world, by the time of the Great Flood, was about 1 billion strong in terms of people, in terms of the population. Can you imagine about 1 billion or billions of people? Among them, only 8 took heed of the message of God and by faith went into the vessel. What coldness they had towards the truth. What indifference they had towards God. How nonchalant they were with regards to the salvation of their own souls. This nonchalance was indeed so astounding. And can you imagine here in God's word, the Bible tells us that these days, as we approach the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this nonchalance, this coldness, this indifference will only grow. So just like in those days where the people eat, drink, they married wives, they were given in marriage, they will continue all the way until the time of judgment will come. And when the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes, you know that the judgment will be one whereby it's no longer a global flood, but it's going to be a global judgment by fire. And the world still plods on, totally not caring about this message. And sometimes this kind of nonchalant attitude, indifferent attitude, is also found in the church, whereby the love for the Savior also grows cold, isn't it? And this is not helped by the many false movements that are happening in the world today. The false gospels that are now currently preached deals very great damage also to Christianity at large. This false gospel says, you believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Because you believe in Him, you will have health, you will have wealth. There is very little talk about why we should believe in Christ, because we are great sinners before Him, and so therefore we need our sins to be forgiven, so that we will not have eternal condemnation, we will not have eternal death, but we will have eternal life. Instead of such a gospel that is preached, instead, Jesus Christ becomes all about physical health and physical wealth. And then we are told, oh, if let's say we have problems with our physical health and wealth, it's because you have little faith. And then they present a Christianity whereby it's all about having a life that is a life of comfort, a life of a bed of roses. If anything different happens from this kind of life, oh, it's because of your fault, because you did not believe in Christ enough. No wonder the church at large, instead of focusing on spiritual things, begin to focus on carnal things. And people begin eating, drinking, marrying, giving their lives also unto marriage without any thinking of the truth of the scriptures and of the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So much so that today, when you go and talk to Christians about Christ coming again, what do you mean by Christ coming again? I don't think Christ will come so soon. You talk to them about the imminency of His coming, they will say, well, I still have a life to live. Can He come later? Or some would even say, what, you mean there is something called the second coming of Christ? Christ coming again? You mean one day I may see Christ coming upon the earth and I may see Him physically? They simply do not believe in it. And then when the Bible talks about the various signs that will come upon the earth during the last days, whereby they are classified as the beginning of sorrows. You talk about famines, you talk about earthquakes, you talk about all the wars and rumors of wars. They say, well, all these things are normal to happen in the world. You know, what has it got to do with Christ? What has it got to do with His coming? They do not care. So long as this famine doesn't reach my shore, I am happy. So long as this plague does not reach my shore, I am happy. So long as I do not experience wars and rumors of wars, I am happy. And sometimes, especially in sunny Singapore, whereby the Lord has found it pleasing to grant us conditions of peace and prosperity, because these things are so far away from us, we begin to think all these things as though they are theories, they are part of a fantasy story and not reality. And so therefore, in the church, we begin also to be very cold in our hearts towards the truth, nonchalant, indifferent. And all these things, they are prophesied and predicted in scriptures. That was how the days of Noah were like. And then when you talk about the days of Sodom, it is very much the same, and in fact, worse than before. For you look at verse 28. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. Did they change? No, they did not change. They did eat. They drank. They bought. They sold. They planted. They builded. And you realize the scriptures purposely structured the sentence that way, causing you to focus on the various verbs. Eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. Again, all the various tasks that we find in the world today, what people would focus on, they continued in the same footsteps. It is from their own hearts. They were very willing to do all these things. They are willing to be wholly devoted to the things of the earth. No change. How about for God? They did not care about Him. But not only just that, but you will realize the main difference between the time of Lot and Noah is that now they have not only become nonchalant in their heart, but many of them are actually truly blinded with regards to the truth. It has become something that is totally alien to them. They become oblivious to what is written in or what is taught by God. Oblivious. Don't know anything. Totally blinded. And how blind did they get? How wicked was Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, wherever you mention Sodom and Gomorrah, you think of the various sexual sins that were present in these two cities, right? Especially Sodom, where Sodom has become the root word for the English word sodomy. Sexual sins today are so easily looked down upon as being something that is light, isn't it? You talk about fornication. People do not care whether or not they commit sexual sins or they get into the act of sex even before marriage. It has become something that is even glorified. It's as though if you live a life that is chaste and pure before marriage, it's something to be laughed at. You tell people that, oh, I am a virgin. They say, what? At this age, you are still a virgin? How can that be? That's what the world has become like now, isn't it? Well, Sodom has become like that. But not only just that, but you will realize that Sodom was also known for the sin of homosexuality. Homosexuality was not only accepted in those days, but also greatly desired. How great did the people desire homosexuality in those days? Well, you know the incident whereby the angels appeared in the house of Lot. They appeared in the form of men. And when they entered into, as they were in the house, the people of the various quarters in Sodom, of all ages, right? The Bible purposely made known it was of all ages, from young and old, and from all corners of the city, they gathered towards that house, and then they encircled it, wanting to grab those men in order to know them. And of course, you know what they mean by knowing them, to have some sexual relations with them. And then later on, when the angels dragged Lot into the house, even though Lot pleaded for them, please don't do that, they are my visitors, I would rather give you my daughters. And already, that is very, very bad, because which father would go and sacrifice the daughters in order to appease the crowd? But he was willing to do that. And so the angels took Lot into the house, and then they caused blindness to fall upon the crowd. Did the crowd stop going after Lot? No, they were so desperate to have that sexual desires of theirs to be met, homosexual desires of them to be met, that they continued to grope and find and enter into the house, trying to knock down the very barriers that prevented them from reaching the men, who were actually the angels of the Lord. That was the spirit of Sodom in those days. And then you look at the spirit that are present right now in the entire world. Is it not the same? There is this movement whereby homosexuality is being fought in quarters to be accepted. It's as though if homosexuality is not accepted, is hatred, is unloving. Homosexuality is no longer a sin. Homosexuality is just, oh, you know, a personal alignment of that person. And so, therefore, it should not be preached against. It must be accepted as something that is right. The person is just different. It's no longer being taught about as a sin. And then when the truth is preached that homosexuality is a sin before the Lord, they say that it is unloving, it is hatred. When actually it is the reverse, it is the truth. It's something that must be repented of. But instead, when this is mentioned, arms are taken up. This is the world in which we are living in today, isn't it? And it's only going to get worse, because the Bible says so, that it's going to be like the days of Sodom. That is the direction in which the world is moving to. This movement cannot be stopped. And that is what Sodom and Gomorrah was known for. And that's why when the sin reached that point, when the sins of the city was full. The Lord said, time's up. It's time to be judged. And then when judgment came, it was very, very sudden. And then you will realize that the people were unprepared. Just like how they were unprepared in the days of Noah, they were also unprepared in the days of Sodom. And so the Bible here says in verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. They were not prepared. And even if you look at Lot, Lot himself, he received that particular warning from the angels that the Lord has sent. But then you look at his family. They had to be dragged out of their houses in order to avoid that fiery judgment. The husbands of the daughters, they scoff at Lot. And why did they scoff at Lot? Because Lot, during his time upon the Sodom, was he a good testimony for the Lord? Well, although his soul, being just before the Lord, had his conscience pricked because of the various evils that he saw in those days, yet he continued to try to be buddies and companions with those people without ever trying to warn them about the dangers in which they were facing. And so therefore, when suddenly this news broke out to the husbands of his daughters, they were incredulous. They were totally laughing and mocking Lot. There was no light in those days. So much so that the people were oblivious, blinded by the truth, of the truth. And slowly the world will come to this point whereby, yes, initially there were still people like Noah preaching the truth, warning the people of the judgment to come. But the world slowly will grow colder and colder in its love until the time will come whereby to even find that light, to even find that voice of warning in the world is so rare. So much so that many in the world, they do not even know that judgment is coming. And these days are fast approaching. This spirit is already now abiding in the world today. And you must recognize that you are living in such times, such cold days. Beginning first with nonchalance. And then slowly as the indifference grows, there will soon be a spirit of blindness whereby people are just simply oblivious to the truth. And then judgment will come. And so, these are cold days. Know this in your heart. And because these are cold days, so therefore these are also urgent days. Urgent days with regards to what? Urgent days first with regards to yourself, that you must make sure that you truly are born again, that you are truly safe in the arms of Jesus, that you truly know the way to heaven. And not only just that, but urgent days in terms of making sure, in terms of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to the people of the world, that they may know that this is the way in which you can find salvation for your souls, because there is no other way. There is no other way but through Christ. And this urgency is made known in verse 30 onwards. You take a look that day, right? From verse 29, it says, on the same day that Lot went out, purposely say the same day, not days, that same day. When the day comes, it's really too late. The brimstone came from heaven, destroyed all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Because in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his staff in the house, don't even consider taking all these possessions with you, because all these things are useless. Let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Instead, quickly flee to the Lord for refuge. He is the only person that can save you from the judgment that is to come. Will you therefore not turn to him? And those of you who have the privilege of hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, please understand that this is the day of salvation. Those of you who profess to be Christians, also remember Lot's wife. Now, who was Lot's wife and what exactly did she did that she have this one verse devoted unto her? Remember Lot's wife. Well, she was the one whereby as the family was running away from Sodom and Gomorrah, she turned back and took a look at the city, despite the fact that the angels warned not to look back. And because of that, she was turned into a pillar of salt. So in other words, if you hear the truth that is being preached, please buy the truth, sell it not, cling on to it, and then don't look back at the world anymore. The task to do the Lord's work is something that is urgent. And then with regards to your own soul also, you better make sure that you are truly safe in the arms of Jesus. Don't look at the truth, hear the truth preached, and then in the end says, okay, I know that it is right, I acknowledge it is right, but with regards to true faith that is really in the heart, you are not the possessor of it. You better make sure that you are in the Lord. It's something that is urgent, because you never know the day whereby your time upon the earth will be up. You ask yourself about those people who a few years ago went to watch a concert in France. They did not know that that day when they watched the concert would be their last day upon the earth. The gunman would come in and then would shoot, and then that is the end of their stay upon the earth. Anything can happen, and then our lives can be taken away. Why do you want to wait until that time comes? You never know when the time will come, because the days of our life are never in our hand. We had no control over the day of birth, isn't it? Which one of you can choose your birthday? Right. How I wish, right, you tell yourself, how I wish I'm not born on this day. You know, this day seems like some random day. How I wish I'm born on one day before or one day after. Or maybe in the same day, I wish I was born at 10 a.m. instead of 11 a.m. Which one of you can say that? You were not in control of your day of birth. You will definitely not be in control in the day of death. When death comes knocking at the door, that's it. Your time upon the earth is up. Please understand, therefore, that it is urgent for you to find Christ. And if you have found the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please understand that it will be an urgent task to cling on to that truth and make that truth known to the entire world. It's urgent. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot say, I want to love the world, I want to love the possessions of this world, I want to love mammon, and then I want to serve money. And then I also want to serve the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that you can only love one master. If you say that you want to follow the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then be wholly devoted in following Him. That's what it means to receive the Lord, to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. To have Him totally as the master of your life, to submit totally to Him, to surrender your all unto Him. And then, with regards to the things of the world, you forsake not. That does not mean, of course, that you have to live like a pauper or anything. But what it means, therefore, that whatsoever you have in this life, every single one of your possessions has only one purpose, and that is to serve, to glorify the name of the Savior, to be used in order to promote the truth. That's what it means. And then, should the Lord say that these possessions be taken away from you, you are also most willing to accept it. Because in the first place, everything that you have all come from God, isn't it? It belongs to the Lord. And so therefore, if the Lord wants to take it away, so be it. Those things are not for myself. Those things are for the Lord. But then if you then want to have the attitude whereby you say, oh, the things of the world belongeth to me. I want all those things for myself. I will continue to build the huge barns, the huge condos, to pursue after power and fame. And you want your whole life to be devoted unto it, then okay, you may have the things of this world, but then the most important thing, that is your soul. Where will it end? The Bible says, if your sins are not forgiven, it will only end in the lake of fire, forever separated from the Lord, whereby the fires in the lake will be burning forever and ever. Do you want such an end? Do you think it's a good exchange? Surely, the soul is the most precious, isn't it? Which is more important? The jewel box, the ring box, or the ring? Which one is more important? Those of you who are ladies, which one is more important? Should I go and take the ring for you and give you the ring box? Since the ring box is more precious? I'm sure not, right? If you want to choose between the two, I believe you would rather give me the ring box and then you take the ring, right? I'm sure my wife would say that. Your soul is the most precious, not the things of the world. You try to save your life, that means this present life, without giving it to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you shall instead lose it. But when you give your entire life fully to the Lord, you shall indeed save it. And it's something that is most urgent. It's most urgent because soon you will find that the days of separation will come. So you have the cold days, you have the urgent days, and then you have the separation days. What kind of separation? You look at verses 34 to 37. I tell you that night, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the one shall be left. Now, interestingly, when you look at the word taken down here, it has this sense of being taken to accompany someone. So in other words, I take someone so that that particular person can come alongside me. So you can be taken as a matter of affection, a matter of devotion, or be taken, you take someone to be alongside you as a matter of importance. And that is indeed what will soon happen, because you will realize that the days will come whereby the Lord will take his own to be together with him, isn't it? And you will realize that this division will be one that is sharp, this division will be one that is true, this division will be one that is without respect of person. So much so that even within that same family, one will be taken to be with the Lord, and to the other one who has not have the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, that person will be left behind, will not be with the Lord. Because you look at verse 34, especially where it is very stuck, right? Starkly put to us. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. And usually who are in one bed? Well, sometimes people say brothers and sisters. Okay, brothers and sisters, I don't think you will have strangers together in one bed, right? Either husband or wife, or maybe two brothers. Yeah, so clearly in the same family. So when you talk about in the same family, one shall be taken and the other shall be left. One shall be taken, the other shall be left. The Lord is not going to say, oh, because this person has accepted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the other one hasn't, but because this person has accepted, so the one that hasn't accepted me, I will take that person. No. And so therefore, you individually must answer that question. You cannot say, oh, you see, I'm born into a Christian family. My father professes faith in Christ. My mother professes faith in Christ. So therefore, I don't need to be concerned. It's not something that is urgent. I can afford to be cold. I can afford to be indifferent. I can afford to be oblivious. And then I will still find my place in heaven. There is no such thing. You ignore this warning that is down here concerning the spirit of the days and you go along with it. In the end, the time will come whereby the days of separation will happen, and then you will realize that you will be separated from those of your loved ones who have believed sincerely in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and have their sins cleansed. It will happen. Two women shall be grinding together. Colleagues together in the same company. One will be taken, the other will be left. And you don't talk about the woman, you talk about the man. It's also the same, right? Two men working in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. Taken where? Well, verse 37 says, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. These eagles here are out to hunt for the prey. And so one very good illustration that can be used to explain this can be found sometimes in the various documentaries that we see concerning birds and animals that feed upon carcasses. Think about vultures, for example. When you have a body that is dead down there, soon you will have vultures circling over it, and then they will gather down onto that body. Now here, though, it is used as an illustration to say, where you have the Lord, there you will have all the saints that will be gathered together with him. And so that separation will happen. Today, if you look in the church, you'll find there is always a mixed multitude. You have those who are true believers in Christ. You have those who claim they are believers in Christ but may not have belief. And you have those who are coming in seeking to know the truth. There is a mixed multitude. But soon the time will come whereby this mix will no longer occur, but the Lord will put a very, very clear separation and division, whereby those who are truly his own, those who are truly the saints, they will be together with him. But those who have not truly received him, they will be cast away. Which place do you want to be? Do you want to be together with the Lord, or do you want to be cast away from him? One is called eternal life, the other one is called eternal death. We pray that you will be found with the Lord, because it will be a time of eternal bliss, it will be a time of eternal peace, it will be a time of eternal joy. But then you have to understand, therefore, this message of how these days shall be. You have to understand the spirit of these days, and do not follow the spirit of these days. Whether you call yourself a believer, or whether you have said you say that you do not believe in the Lord, well, all have to take heed of this same message. If you are a true believer, then this is a warning about how these days are like, and should be taken, therefore, as an admonishment that we do not abide in the same ways as that of the world. If you profess faith in the Lord, or you call yourself a Christian but actually have not truly believed in him, then herein is also a warning. Better urgently make sure that you are in the Lord, and that you are not in the church just as a matter of show, just hiding until one day you will go against him. You will realize that in the context of all these verses, actually they were directed towards the Pharisees. The Pharisees were people who had an outward show of religion, but actually inwardly they are ravening wolves. They were there out to attack the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to trap him, to make him fell foul, not only of the Roman authorities, but also of the common people, the people of Israel. And so the Lord had to tell them, look, you want to ask me about the kingdom of God. Now I'm going to tell you about the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you about the days of the Son of Man. And verses 26 all the way to 37 found part of the warning. The days of separation will soon come. Separation days. Which side will you be on? Right now, you Pharisees, you are in danger of being on the side whereby you will forever be cast away. You are taken in by the spirit of the days that corners. And so, recognize, therefore, it is of great urgency that you must repent of your sin and come to believe in me. And we fear that there can be many in the church who are like this. Pray and consider very, very carefully the reality of these days and the state of your soul. Where are you exactly with the Lord? And then for all those of you who are seeking to know the truth, who have not believed in him, we pray that today will also be the day of salvation. It's something that is urgent. Why don't you want to believe in Christ Jesus? Because in him, you have safety. In Him, you have eternal refuge. In Him, you have eternal life. He who has come into this world to die on the cross for your sins, and then shedding His precious blood, and then was buried, and then on the third day, He rose again from the dead. Why don't you have Him to be your personal master and savior? Because we live in such perilous times. We live in the days of Noah and Sodom. Cold days. No, the urgency. And before the days of separation are up, make sure that you are truly with the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, we thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy precious word, which tells us the truth. And this truth, O Lord, is for our profit. If only, O Lord, we would take heed to it. And so we ask, O Lord, that You will help all who are attending this live streaming of the service, who are hearing this precious Thy precious word, to have good understanding of what is written in the Bible, and that this message would be taken heed into the heart, and that many more will be found together with Thee when the time comes, in eternal bliss, within the gates of heaven, in the city of the New Jerusalem. So, Father, we commit all these things into Thy hands. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.